Hey kids, Jeff Hawkins from Shake Them Ropes here, and for almost 15 years we have been part of Voices of Wrestling. Myself and Chris Novembrino give a review of that week's news, the lazy river of wrestling criticism of that week's WWE and AEW, and then Vader Club, where we watch something from one of our past, or something we may have missed. Smart, snarky, and sometimes serious, but not always. That's us, and if that's your vibe, we'd love to have you listen to Shake Them Ropes every week on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
Wrestling Omakase is back, baby. The weekly podcast that takes you across all the top promotions on the entire Japanese wrestling scene, from New Japan to Stardom, NOAH, DDT, All Japan, Marigold, Dragon Gate, Tokyo Joshi, Sendai Girls, and a whole lot more. I'm John Carroll, a fan of Japanese wrestling for over 20 years, and every week I'm joined by a rotating cast of guest co-hosts as we break down all the top promotions in Japan, men's and women's. Check out Wrestling Omakase right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 90 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voice of Wrestling Podcast Network. We're available on all of your favorite podcast sites. And leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts. And you can follow us on Blue Sky and X at Emerald Flow Show. And if you're feeling generous, you can donate to the show at voicesofwrestling.com/donate. I'm Gerard, back with Paul. And breaking news, Paul, I was going to watch some Big Japan for this episode, but Core has been down for 24 hours now.
Yeah, that's great service. It's actually, because we were just talking about this just before we started recording, that Big Japan show at the end of the year on December 30th, 29th, 30th, I think. That one is actually airing, I think, on YouTube. So if it's still down by then, you might be able to watch that on YouTube at least.
That's, well, there you go. I am, though, relatively confident, given how Big Japan can always pull through, that Core will be back. Maybe it will still take a couple more days.
Well, it might also require somebody to notice that it's down, so...
Yes. Well, I asked in the VOW Discord, and I was informed it had been down for like a day already when I did it this morning. So, you know, that's sort of good to know that at least one other person is aware of the situation.
Who knows? I don't know. This might be it for Core. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, really?
Just the way the promotion has gone in general, right? Like, you also had, like, because you have the whole thing with Akira basically saying he's, like, more or less done with Big Japan.
Yeah.
So the deathmatch division is basically...
I don't think they're going to go out of business, but they might just punt Core for YouTube, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, because you don't have to pay for the infrastructure. But, right. Yeah, I don't know how many people watch on YouTube, though. Like, I had that Core subscription to watch, like, Sekimoto versus Cobb, and... I don't know. The live chat seemed pretty dead on that. So who knows?
Well, I wanted to see, because there was a Shuji Ishikawa versus Hideyoshi Hideyoshi Kamatani match from a couple of days ago that I wanted to check out. I'm not sure if it was going to be as good as they were in 2015, 2016, but I
still probably wanted, not. Yeah. But
but I still wanted to check that out. But I do have a couple of things from going around watching random things that I'm going to touch on real quick. I finally got around to watching, because this is a GHC title, Utami Hayashi versus Takumi Iroha from like way back, I think like July 16th. Look, hot take, I enjoyed the match. I know why others wouldn't for its length, but I did enjoy it. I'm not going to go match the Sumi because some people really hated it.
Especially that actually put me off on watching the match because I saw like the visceral negative reaction to that match. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to skip that one then.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's good reviews of it also on Cage Match, but it's also very different. Also, I watched the 30-minute Hayabusa versus Masato Tanaka draw from August 3rd, and it was actually pretty good. This is my first time watching Hayabusa, and he's actually good. Like, he also has like technical skills beyond just being a high flyer, because he worked over Tanaka's arm and everything like that. And they filled up the time really well. I mean, yeah, a little bit of arm work on the beginning, but they kept up a really good pace for that 30 minutes, I thought. Now, if you want to talk about questionable finishes, now I think that's reasonable, especially given that it was a loser leaves the promotion match, and then you just do a 30-minute draw. I find that more egregious than the double KO of Utami versus Takumi Iroha, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I was kind of saying that before the match, though, right? Like that there's just no way they're going to do like either finish here. So I was like, I was staring at that time limit and I was like, yeah, that smells like the most double, like that smells like the most like non-finish I've ever seen. And turns out I was right. So
we'll start with Pro Wrestling Noah because we have a lot to go over there. Some interesting directions have changed in the company, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So we start on the 27th at Kyoto KBS Hall in front of 406 fans. I mean, there's not much to say on this show except for Uka Sasaki defeated Hayata in 10:23 with a cross arm breaker. What can I say? It was perfectly solid, like 3.25 match. Hayata continues to not offend the show.
Yeah. I do have to say, it's like, I'm not going to be like, oh, he's like a great wrestler, but it does work to his benefit to work heavyweights. Like, it is less note, like his style actually fits better with heavyweight.
Yeah. And then semi-main, Kenno, Tetsuya Endo, and Ada defeated Nomichi Marufuji, Dragon Bane, and Alpha Wolf in 11:28 with the Imperial Uno from Ada on Bane. Again, this is to set up a junior tag match on the next show. And that was a very solid semi-main, your Noah six-man special. And then the main event, Manabu Soya and Daiki Inaba defeated Takashi Sugura and Daga in 1937, with Inaba getting the big roll-up on Sugura to make the first defense of the GHC title. And first of all, I will just say that this Soya and Inaba team was very over. Mm-hmm. But as we'll get to, the honeymoon didn't last forever. But I did feel like when I saw this match before subsequent events, I was like, they could go somewhere with this team because both guys are really over.
Yeah, I actually kind of expected them to lose here, like for obvious reasons, as will become clear, they did not lose here. I also thought I was like, oh, they actually got past this team. I think, why are they actually going to go on a bit of a run? And not really, but you know, at least Inaba got a win over Segura. I think that's at least something.
Yeah. So the following show after that was on the 3rd at Kobe Sambo Hall in front of 414 fans. First half of the card, standard no affair. But when we get to they had this third from the top, which I thought was interesting. Owada defeated Daiki Odashima in 11:45 with a crab hold. And wouldn't you know, I mean, this was really good. I mean, Owada-san did a lot of some of the heel shtick, but Odashima is just so great. My rookie of the year, hands down type thing. And so this was like getting a big win for Iwata-san because he's not going to get any wins before he leaves.
Oh, yeah. No way. Like, there's a 0% chance he beats Ozawa unless there's like an angle.
And then Manabu Soya, Daiki Inaba, and Yuto Kikuchi defeated Ozawa, Takashi Sugura, and Null in 13:28 because Sugura was disqualified because Masa Kitamiya came out all dressed in black. And has ditched the hair, just going with natural hair color and no like Faux Hawk. And he interfered, is now a member of Team 2000X, and he's the chairman, as he calls himself.
Which is weird, because wasn't Tadasuke the chairman? He's the guy that came up with the comes up with the chair.
No. Tadasuke is the outcast.
Okay.
Sure.
So I actually thought, you know, this was actually a good little six-man up until that point. But I mean, this was really just...
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't fault... Like, it's on a house show as well. Like, this is exactly where you do this angle.
So thoughts on Kitamiya being in... Team 2000X, because I have some thoughts once we get to the Kawasaki show, but what was your initial like reaction?
I don't mind it because I don't know. I feel like Team 2000X is like starting to go into like a different direction of what they were originally, yeah. Right? Because they were kind of like the slimy heels, like really early on with like a lot of cheating and everything. And like, they're still kind of doing that, but like, they're like becoming a lot more like a bruiser faction now as well. With like guys like Segura and Kitamiya. So I think that's actually a positive direction.
Yes, and Kitamiya was also spinning his wheels. Like, how many matches yeah. he had against like Kazuyuki Fujita in the undercard of some show?
Yeah, like he's had nothing to do like for like a long time now. So yeah. No, I think this is perfect for him. Like, especially like he's in a tag team now again, which I do think that is his strongest role, is being in a tag team. And I think him and Segura, actually, like, that's a really good, like, team to put together as well. Like, if they don't go overboard with cheating and everything, I think, like, there's, like, a lot of legs on that team.
Yeah, they don't have to cheat because they could just be...
Yeah, exactly. They can just be assholes that beat you up.
Yeah, exactly. And then in the main event for the GAC Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title, Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf defeated Ada and Shuji Kondo in 15-12. With the Twister Bane from Bane on Kondo to make their third defense of the titles. I know, Paul, I mean, it wasn't bad. I just felt that Ada and Kondo, I mean, there was some good stuff from Kondo here, but he's also like got to be in his late 40s now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just felt like they're not quite the guys to keep up with Bane and Alpha Wolf these days. I don't know. That was sort of my feeling.
No, I also have to say Ada and Shuji Kondo is like a team that is worse than the sum of its parts. Like, yeah, I feel like they just consistently underdeliver.
Kondo is 47. Now I did enjoy him suplexing and lariating them, but I don't know. Ada was just mostly kind of here in this fine, like 3 stars.
Yeah, we are right back into like Ada does not give a single shit error. Like,
yes.
Like, he's there to collect a paycheck and he's doing the minimum amount of stuff necessary until, I don't know, they give him something interesting to do, or like he finds some motivation somewhere. But he should have kept them together with Urashima. He was weirdly engaged during that. He was really motivated during that team.
Yeah. I don't know. He's a little fickle on these things. But yeah. I mean, again, this is also at Kobe Assembly Hall.
True. That also is a factor, especially for someone like Ada. It's like, Kobe Assembly Hall, whatever.
Yeah, but them being the less than the sum of their parts is such a good fit of this team. So then we move on to August 11th at Kawasaki Summer Voyage 2025 at Cults Kawasaki in front of 1,757 fans. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a really good number given this card, yep. I thought, actually.
It's the best number ever in the building. Like, that's insane.
No one didn't turn the lights off. I have to turn the lights off.
That was the first thing I noticed, where I was like, what the? Oh, I can actually see the building. They've turned it on the last couple of times they were here.
Yeah. So that's a good sign. So we start off with Ada, Amasuka, and Junta Miyawaki defeating Dragon Bane, Alpha Wolf, and Calibus in 8:43 when Amasuka pinned Calibus with the Kaikoku. Solid opener. I mean, less than 9 minutes, but it was just them flying around.
Yeah.
So the kind of thing you want to sort of set up the show with. But from that good opener, we had a three-way match of Super Crazy, Shuhei Taniguchi, and Black Mensa Ray when Super Crazy is the schoolboy on Mensa Ray. First of all, this is like, it's not as bad as when All Japan would have those like 6 or 8 man tags with all the old guys in Onita, but it's not that far off.
No. Also, I'm looking at it and I'm like, did this really only go 4 minutes? This felt so much longer than 4 minutes.
I know it did.
I was like, this is like 8 minutes or 10. It's like, it's under five somehow. Jesus. I like, yeah, this was not good at all.
They don't really know what to do with Taniguchi.
No.
It's unfortunate. Yeah. And we've mentioned before that Mensa Ray is like regressed.
Yeah. And somehow Super Crazy is still around. I mean, yeah. Okay, I know why, because he's friends with Nozawa, but still.
Yeah. And he's probably just the reason he's in Japan, we mentioned, because his daughter is in the Wave Dojo, but.
Yeah.
So he's hanging around. Nozawa's going to give him a booking on a bigger show. Next up, Kaito Kiyomiya, Galeno, Alejandro, and Kai Fujimori defeated Uka Sasaki, Tetsuya Endo, Hayata, and Deki Odoshima in 10-18 with the Galeno special from Galeno on Odoshima. Another solid little multi-man tag there. Odoshima going up against Galeno was probably my highlight.
Yeah, he has such good chemistry with the big guys. That was actually my takeaway as well. Where I'm like,
yeah,
I know they can't move him to heavyweight, but he has such good chemistry with like the really big guys. It's like that's kind of going to go away a little when he like moves out of young boy status, which is almost unfortunate.
Yeah. And then next up, we had Naomi Chimura, Fuji Keno, and Muhammad Yone and Shuji Kondo defeating Ozawa, Jack Morris, Daga, and Null in 10-07 with the schoolboy from Kondo on Daga. But Jack Morris gave a high kick to Daga when Kondo moved out of the way, and then schoolboy Kondo. So that led to some dissension in Team 2000X. And then at one point, well, they Daga and Morris started pushing each other, but then Jack Morris took a swing at Yoshitatsu. And that's when the real beatdown really started. And Jack Morris got bumped. And well, what did you think? Is he leaving? I guess is really the question.
Yeah, I actually feel like it was time for him to leave Team 2000X, right? Because as we were saying, like, I feel like there's a bit of a shift in direction with them going, and I don't think he fits the new direction. And then B, I think he's leaving, yeah. Like, he wasn't on the list of, like, guys, of, like, Euro guys that were announced that are signed. Like, for example, like, we know Mike DiVecchio is leaving. Like, I was literally on Sunday, I was, like, at one of the, like, Rev Pro X GWF shows, and they did, like, a big farewell for Mike DiVecchio there. So, like, he's 100% leaving. And, like, same with, like, Isla Blanc, where it's, like, he has, like, a big farewell match and all of that. And, like, Zozaya, it's clear that he's wrapping up, but with Jack, we haven't seen any announcement yet, but it definitely, like, it feels very strongly that he is. Like, when he's over in Europe, he's doing so many jobs to, like, not even push guys as well.
I got to assume that the N1 announcements will happen on this Korakuen this weekend, right? I'm surprised it hasn't actually happened yet. So, I mean, we'll know for sure, but yes, I think he's probably...
Yeah, and I mean, good for him as well. Yeah. Right, like I think he had a good run. Like, he made the most of what, like, you know, like, he came in as a virtual complete unknown.
Oh, totally. People like Brit Res people, a lot of them didn't even know who
he was. Yeah, because he was wrestling, like, he had like a couple of shots for, like, you know, for like what's it called again? ICW up in Scotland, right? And like, otherwise he was like wrestling like literally like lower level indies, like it was just nothing. Like, I remember, like, I did, like, when I did a preview for the N1 that year, I was, like, looking up, like, previous, like, achievements of that person. And for, like, Jack Morris, there was, like, I think, like, he won, like, the Battle of Midlothian or something. Like, that was, like, one of his greatest achievements up until that point. So, like, to go from that to now most likely getting signed by WWE, right? Like, I think that is definitely an achievement. Like, he shot a shot by, like, going to, like, Japan, and he made the most of it. And I also have to say, though, he did kind of, like, plateau as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there was that much more for him to do anyway. So I feel like it's the right time.
I think so for sure. Absolutely. But how well do you think he'll do in Orlando?
I think he's going to do well, to be honest. Like, I mean, he has to look, obviously. I mean, the man hasn't seen a carp since, like, I don't know, 2022 or something. right? Like, so... Actually, did you see the promo Ozawa cut where he told, where he said that Jack does steroids?
Yes.
but, yeah, I mean, so I think the look-wise he does well. I think promo-wise... I mean, yeah, like, I do make the joke regularly of, like, unintelligible, like, Scottish noise. But he is, I would say, like, a fairly decent promo overall. And it's not like other Scottish people haven't done well in that promotion. Although he doesn't quite have the same size as, like, Drew, for example. But I think he definitely has a chance to like succeed. I don't think he's going to be like a main eventer, but honestly, I think he has a better chance than like, let's say like Isla Blanc has, to be honest. Or I would honestly even say like maybe like someone like Mike D has as well, because I think Jack's style also just automatically fits much better in WWE than like he won't have to adjust the style like the same way the other two will have to do, because he already kind of wrestles a relatively it's not meant as an insult, but he wrestles a relatively like simple style that fits very well with like American TV wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think I'm 50-50 on his chances, I guess. I could see it, but I could see him just spinning his wheels.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's WWE. Like, it's basically kind of either you come in as a massive star or you kind of have to get lucky to like get anywhere in that company.
Yeah, for sure. So next up, we had Atsushi Kotoga and Hajime Ohara defeating Owada-san and Tadasuke in 9:58 with Imori Bien from Ohara on Owada-san for the submission. So Ohara still seems to be very popular in his hometown. That's all I can say about
it. Yeah. They literally put him on the fucking poster.
I know. Or at least the Wrestle Universe.
The Wrestle Universe like thing. Yeah, I don't think it was on the, but yeah, he was on the thumbnail there, and I was like, ugh. I was like, oh man, I really don't want to click on this.
Yeah, the match is what you'd expect. Like, oh, Hara's getting beat up. Boo.
And then, I mean, but hey, like, I mean, at least Noah knows to do the right thing and like put over the hometown guy, right? Like, they didn't go for like, oh, let's give like some heat to the heels by like beating the hometown guy. They were just like, let's give him a good feel good moment. Well, because they weren't going to give it that to him and them in the main event. So,
and then next up, Goshi Ozaki return match, N1 victory, 2025 contested determination match. Toki defeated Goshi Ozaki in 12:03 with the Dolphin Special number one. So this was Go's big return. I really enjoyed the finish because Go was positioned like he was going to kick out of like the cradle type thing because he had his arms on Harutoki's back like he was going to push him up, but he got him.
Yeah.
Solid match. I can't go above like 3.5. I think that it's an interesting question. Is Go not in this tournament because he can't handle it?
Yes.
But at the same time, Go looked not bad, you know, but he did not go all out. Or
I think like it's less so that Go doesn't look bad. I don't think that's the issue. It's more, I think Go can still like go, but I don't think Go should be wrestling entire like heavy duty singles tournaments anymore. That's probably not a good idea for him. Based on his injury history in general. Like, I mean, heck, even in this match, like he already had his fucking nose busted.
Oh yeah,
his return match, which to be fair looked badass.
Yeah, it did. Well, maybe we'll find out what happens to the 0-1 World Heavyweight title now.
Who even has that belt? Like, does Ghost still have it? Like, Cage Match act, I mean, to be fair, Cage Match only still lists him as champion because they also don't have a better answer than us. But like, he's technically still listed as champion on there.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, they never announced that it was vacated. See?
Yeah, and so neither promotion has used it.
We have one N1 participant in Harutoki, which, is good. I like him, and he deserves that shot, I think. And then special singles match, Hiromu Takahashi defeated Yuto Kikuchi in 12:46 with a time bomb. I mean, this is a nice little like 3-star Hiromu match in 2025.
Yeah, it's the touring Hiromu match like that he generally does outside of New Japan. But he's definitely still winning that title, right? Like, it's 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't think there's any chance Yohei beats him unless it's like Yohei, or unless they have like, I don't know, Team 2000X. Like, they do like the fucking Ultimo Dragon thing where like it's a singles match and then Team 2000X, the heels run in and it turns into a tag match. Like, that's the only way he doesn't win the title.
Yeah, for sure. And so then we go to, they're still going to have that match. I can't remember when Yohei came out afterwards and everything. And then main event, GHC Tag Team Championship, Masa Kinemiya and Takashi Sugiura defeated Manabu Soi and Deki Nob in 2046 via referee stop with the old Stranglehold Gamma from Kinemiya and Soya channeling some Kensuke Sasaki to win the titles. I think this was better than the one with Daga. And this was a pretty good match, actually. Best match of the show for sure. Good hard-hitting tag match. Again, you felt like, you know, the crowd would have gone wild if Soya and Inaba had retained, I'm sure.
But yeah. I don't know. I like that team, but I actually think this might be a better team to hold it as well.
Yes, I agree. But it's just like, oh damn, Soya and Albert. So like, I hope you like, but like my concern is not so much losing the title, but it's like with all of these things, they just don't do anything with this team further.
I mean, that was the problem with the Masaki Tamiya Daiki and our team, wasn't it? Where we were like, team, man, this team is really much over, and they were really good, and then they lost the titles quickly, and they never did anything again. So,
yeah. So, Paul, the first thing I see with Kitamiya's look, we have Braun Breaker at home.
See, I see Kensuke Sasaki.
With the singlet, though?
Otherwise, I think the color scheme and everything gives me kind of Kensuke Sasaki vibes.
I mean, he's done his like look more Kensuke Sasaki-ish, like in terms of just with the goatee and just the plain black hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just thinking about that singlet. It just reminded me. I was like, this is Braun.
I mean, it is kind of a Braun Breaker style singlet because it's also like, it's like, so, okay, there's really not a non-weird way to describe it. It's like because it like the straps go around the nip, like they don't cover the nipples. They go like sideways from the nipples.
Yeah.
Which I think that's the way Braun has it as well.
Yeah.
So I can see where you're coming from. And it's also because they kind of like, yeah, like they're both bruisers and everything. So I definitely see where you're coming from. But like I looked at that and especially like based on the finish, I was like, he's definitely trying to like emulate Kensuke more now.
Oh, for sure. With the Stranglehold Gamut. Absolutely. Yeah. So we then go to the upcoming show on, it is this weekend on Saturday, August 16th at Corican Hall. 6:30 start, not one of those weekend morning shows. We got an 8-man match. We got Hiromu, Kotoge, Amasuka, Juju Miyawaki, versus Ada, Alejandro, Kai Fujimori, and Dekio Tashima. That could actually be pretty good.
Yeah.
We have Uka Sasaki, Hayata, Tetsuya Endo versus Kendo, Shuhei Taniguchi, and Black Mensa Ray.
Sure, why not?
We have Masa Kidami and Tadasuke versus Manabu Soya and Daiki Adaba. Sounds like someone's getting another tag title shot soon.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't like immediate like rematches. Because it's also not like Kitami and Segura really got like all that much of a dirty win. They just kind of beat them.
Yep. And then Takashi, Segura, Daga, and Nol versus Goshi Ozaki, Muhammad Yone, and Hajime Ohara. So Ohara will be back to jobber status, I think.
Well, to be fair, he really only ever wins in Kawasaki. That's the other thing. Like, yeah. At least I don't have to like it, but I can understand it. And as long as they keep it to like just that city, I'm like, okay, like whatever.
Singles match, Kaito Kiyomiya versus Harutoki.
I mean, that one's going to be interesting. I mean, I don't think Harutoki is going to win that one, but like after the last one, like that was when like Harutoki joined like All Rebellion. So I wonder if this is him. Like, I don't think he's going to turn, but I wonder if like this is him like leaving All Rebellion after this, maybe to like just like be like in the home army or whatever. Because yeah. What the fuck is there for him to do in All Rebellion, right? Like he's like the third heavyweight at best.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to that. I think Harutoki, do you pull the trigger?
Yeah, but like the trigger on what? Like it's not like he's gonna be like a big star.
Yeah. But you could give him that momentum going in.
Oh, you mean that he beats Kaito?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would actually, yeah, if you do like a finish similar to the one you did with Go. Yeah, because then he also has like more reason to actually leave All Rebellion as well, where he's like, yeah, like I beat you, now I can leave or whatever, even if it's on like a roll up or whatever.
Yeah, and win back in the N1 too.
In the N1, yeah, you put them in the same block and everything. Yeah, no, actually, you know what? You've talked me into it. That makes sense.
I don't know. I probably Kaito wins.
Probably, yes. But like, I do think that actually would make sense.
And then 8-man tag match, Galeno, Dragon Bane, Alpha Wolf, and Super Crazy versus Luis Monte, Flamita, Bendito, and Caldas. That's what it was. Blank.
I mean, that's a very Nosawa match to book.
Yes, but one of these things is not like the other.
Oh, yes.
And then it could be good still. I mean,
Super Crazy can just like, you know, stand on the ring apron and kind of clap.
I hope he at least does the job.
No, he won't. You know, he won't.
Yeah, it'll be Calibus.
Yeah.
Iwata-san send-off match, as we already, Annette was already announced. Ozawa versus Iwata-san. Does Iwata-san get bounced here?
Mm,
like, I mean, I from don't... the unit.
Yeah, from the unit. I know. I don't think so. Like, I don't think they've really teased that at all. And I think Owada-san, I don't know. Like, I mean, the question is, I guess if maybe that would actually be a bit of an indicator that maybe Team 2000X won't even be around anymore. It won't be in this form when he comes back, right? Because then you bounce him out now, whereas, like, if you still want him to be in there when he comes back, then you don't do it. But, like, if they're not even going to be around when he's, like, I don't know, like, because he's going to be gone for, like, 6 months to a year, right? At the least.
Yeah, for sure.
Because Ozawa left at the end of January 2024, and then he returned after the N1, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was actually, he was still here in August, because I'm literally wearing the shirt I bought from him at the RevPro XWF shows last year. And then, yeah, he came back shortly after the N1. So I guess maybe for Wada, I could see, like, maybe he gets a bit longer, unless they want to bring him. Like, but again, I feel like it's similar time frame for him would make sense as well. And who knows if, like, Team 2000X will still be around by then, because I feel like at least maybe not in this form. Like, I don't think Ozawa will still be the leader by then, at the very least.
I mean, he could have turned face by then. I mean, that's completely in the realm of possibility.
See, but actually then I might be thinking maybe they don't kick him out here. And then there's a bit of, like, ambiguousness when, like, Owada comes back. It's like, is he going to align with Ozawa, or is he going to align with, like, whoever is, like, the top heel lead at that point?
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, main event for the GHC Heavyweight Championship, Kenta versus Naomichi Marufu. Kenta's retaining. Paul, how much do you think this is going to be?
I mean, 15 years ago, it's a match of the year contender. No fucking questions asked.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we do always say that Marufuji, when he's motivated, can still go. Like, he's proven that countless times already. And we kind of have the same for Kenta.
He's going to do his annual great performance here. Or at least
exactly. Like, what else would be more motivating than for Naomichi fucking Marufuji than a GHC title match with Kenta, right? That there's literally nothing that, like, if that doesn't motivate him, nothing else can anymore. So yeah, I feel like I don't know if it's going to be a match that will end up on my match of the year list, but I will predict that it will be at least 4 stars.
It's sold out.
Yeah.
So that's a good sign, you know, to add to the, motivation, the juice, full cork, and your most dedicated fans all screaming. You know, I think...
The atmosphere is going to be insane.
Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic.
Yeah. Although so, I still feel like... I know that would have been stupid, but I still would have been like, should have put that in Budokan just as a fuck you.
So that's Pro Wrestling Noah. Some interesting directions. I am mostly on board with everything. And it just felt... I felt like Team 2000X was a little... I mean, they had, like, the DQ finish, whatever. But I just feel like it's a little less overbearing and a more like going the Kitamiya Sugura ass-kicker route.
Actually, on that, just real quick before we move on, I actually have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you think Daga is also going to leave soon?
Oh, yes. I forgot. Wasn't he at one of the tryouts, too?
Exactly. And there's a picture WWE of just bought... Mexican promotion, right? Spanish-speaking promotion. So they might need more Spanish-speaking wrestlers.
Triple Mania, is it not?
I mean, because the Cubs preview is up on the website. Obviously he's not going to pop up there because he's, like, booked and Noah and everything. But I would not be shocked if, like, he goes to basically get signed to, like, WWE AAA, basically. Yeah, it just makes too much sense.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And you know what? Good for him.
Yeah. He's also got the advantages because he speaks some English.
Yeah.
So that's probably also makes him attractive to them, actually.
WWE is going to, like, start making people cut promos in English. That's absolutely going to happen. Oh, God. This is going to be a
show. Yeah, yeah. So then we move on to Oda City, General Gymnasium in All Japan for their Netto! Summer Action Series 2025 in front of 2,020 fans. Paul, I was shocked when I saw this.
Absolutely.
Not because I think it was cooked or, you know.
I think it's a little cooked.
It did actually have You think so? I thought it was like, okay, this actually looks better than I thought crowd wise.
I do think it might have been slightly under 2000. Like that 2020 is a little too neat of a number.
Yeah.
But I feel like even a slightly under 2000 for me is still a massive success.
Yes.
With like this car.
I thought this show, the ticket sales did not look good. I thought the show was going to tank. And I was like, oh God, they're going to get 1300. And it's gonna
juniors have crazy. Never been a draw on this promotion when ever.
When you do less than, if you do less than Corkin max in.
Yeah. Florida, yeah, exactly.
Not good. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if it's cooked, it's not cooked by.
Exactly. No. Like I'm not saying that they like massively like overdid it. I think they just wanted to like have the two up there. And so I didn't want to go to like straight to
phones. There could have been 1,957 fans in there.
Exactly. Yeah. I think it was just a hair under 2,000. And then they were just like, it might have legit been like 1,980, right?
They counted all the people in the building.
Yeah. And it just kind of like, exactly. They like put the crew on there and I like bumped it up to 2020, basically.
So. First match of the show, Musashi, Seki Yoshioka, Ryo Inoue, Mr. Sato, Naruki Doi, and Shota Kafuji defeated Dan, Tamura, Hikaru Sato, Yuki Miyamoto, Fuminori Abe, and Sego Tachibana when Doi pinned Tachibana with a sliding kick. Pearl Love did not have the time of the match on here, but this was a really good opener.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I got the crowd like going really well as well.
Yeah. I mean, the junior division is the strongest it has been in a long time.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of secretly the high point of the promotion right now.
Yes. Gayor TV title. Takashi defeated Kuroshi of Tokyo, Japan, 11-14 with the Pineapple Bomber to make his third defense of the title. Whatever. It was.
Yeah, it happened.
I will just say, though, it's funny, though, because Kuroshi runs off to do Uptown. He's doing less All Japan beats, and he does more jobs in All Japan. Very fascinating arc for him. Road to the Odo tournament, Davy Boy Smith and Daisuke Sekimoto defeated Hokuto Mori and Kumarashi in 8:34 with a diving body press from Sekimoto on Mori. Solid little match, in all honesty. I thought Sekimoto looked good. I mean, for what I was expecting of him, I thought he sort of worked harder than I kind of expected him to. And he is the X, and he's going to be in the Royal War Tournament. And of course, we were talking about Big Japan earlier, but did we mention he's sort of going freelance, but also still being in Big Japan too?
Yeah, like we actually mentioned him as one of the potential X's, actually.
Yeah.
When we were talking about that.
So we sort of got it right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think we were suspecting whether or not he got signed, which obviously he didn't, but yeah, he is a freelancer now. Yeah.
So I would say that this is a good pickup. Even though I suppose one could say, well, this is the young guy, it should be a young guy company, fine. But if you need bodies to fill this spot in these cards, you can't go wrong with Sekimoto on the downward side of his career. Now he's saying he's going to wrestle till he's 50 and then retire.
He took that back like in the post match.
Oh, okay.
He said he was going to wrestle until 50 at the show. And then in the post-match press conference in the back, he was like, oh, actually, I feel quite good. Maybe I'm actually going to wrestle longer than 50. This is the fastest anybody's ever walked back their retirement. Like, he walked it back years before it happened.
Yeah, he's only like 44, 45. So he's,
yeah.
So he's still revising it with like 5 years before. So what do you think the chances of him winning the Royal Road are?
I don't know if he's really here as like a Triple Crown level guy to be like. I think maybe he'll get a shot eventually, but I feel like giving him the Royal Road is like, I think, more than you really want to like give him, because he doesn't need it, right? Like he has credibility anyway, so I don't think he really needs that win. So
I mean, his path is pretty clear, because like this is his half of the table. It's got Kento Miyahara, Kengo Mishimo, Yuma Aoyagi, Naoya Nomura, Rei Saito, him, Hideki, and Odyssey, which means, like, you know, could he beat? I mean, he's beating Rei.
Yeah. Is Rei still in the tournament?
Oh, sorry, Doi.
Yeah.
Doi.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, he's 100% beating Doi. Yeah, of course.
And then he's probably facing Odyssey.
Well, you can reasonably bowl out Odyssey in the second round. That's fine.
Yeah. And then, well, the only interesting thing is then it's like, oh, well, I'm assuming Kento's beating Kengo Mishimo.
Yeah.
And then I think Yuma or Naomi Nomura is beating Kento in that second round.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or no, unless Kento always goes to the semis, though, it seems like.
I think Daisuke beats Kento and then Kento loses to whoever emerges from the other side because you can already run Kento. No, wait.
Yeah, so, no, that doesn't work. Daisuke versus Kento in the semis?
I think Daisuke versus Kento in the semis, yeah. Actually, it's not unreasonable that Daisuke wins there.
And then who's going to come from the other side? Because it's June, Ren Ayabe, Hokuto, Zion, Shotaro, Davey Boy, Honda, of course, you cannot count out Honda, and Kuma Arashi. So like,
God, I forgot how dire that side of the blow of the tournament is. Like not even necessarily in terms of wrestling ability, but also in more of like believable winners.
Well, I think the top.
Okay, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go for Honda versus Daisuke Sakamoto in the final.
And then Honda finally wins it, or Honda fails again in the.
Yeah, because Honda also just had a title shot. See, this is the problem with fucking June winning. It actually makes it really hard. Actually, maybe you're right because June has beaten everybody else. So it kind of has to be Daisuke Sakamoto by process of elimination. Unless they want to do a rematch.
Yeah. And there's your Royal Road preview. So we go to Midsummer Special Singles Match Volume 1 now. Inamura versus defeated Raikihan in 14-1 with the double wrist lock. He's still got it.
He does.
Which is why what about a nice Nomura versus Honda final?
That would be awesome too.
Win back.
That would be actually, you know what? That also would be awesome, yeah. But man, I just wish we could just, you know, take this man's brain and put it into like a functioning body.
Yeah.
Because like brain for wrestling is amazing, but
he still goes hard.
Yeah.
Still took some good bumps in this. What could have
been? It's going to haunt me forever, Gerard. It's going to haunt me forever.
I know.
Have been with Naoya Nomura.
I mean, it's just like, I just hope they keep using him, but I cannot bet them, right?
They've brought him back after so many fucking injuries. At this point, they're just going to keep coming him back.
If he didn't blow his knee out in that tag match against Soya and Keno, I assume they were going to keep
him. Yeah. Yeah, but like he just came back from injury and they put him straight back into the Royal Road tournament and gave him a big win on an Ota City show. They're obviously more than happy to keep using him. Like, you're not going to do that to a guy you're just going to like dump after this.
And then, so we had the Saito brothers versus Havoc, Shotaro Shino, Zion, and Odyssey defeated Jun Saito, Rei Saito, and Senor Saito with the Journey's End from Odyssey on Senor, which is the most obvious finish ever. I think Havoc's kind of overball.
Oh, God, yeah. Which is unfortunate given the Odyssey of it all, but like, the crowd fucking loves them.
I also have to say, I think Odyssey is better than Zion.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So that's where that's going to be happening.
Yeah.
So for the Midsummer Special Singles Match Volume 2, Ren Ayabe defeated Talos in 14 minutes with the Death Roulette. Paul, somebody questioned if we live in the best of all possible worlds, but this match might have been the best of possible matches that these two could actually have. This is hardly a classic. But they managed to go 14 minutes and be okay. And with a great finish, with Ayabe getting the death roulette on Talos, honestly looked great.
That looked awesome. Yeah. Like, I like legitimately, if you just hear like, oh, like Ren Ayabe and Talos had a 14-minute singles match, like you're going to imagine some horrific stuff. But like, as I was watching that, I was like, this is not bad. This is kind of good, actually.
And
like they worked it perfectly. Yeah, both of them took like big bumps too. Like Talos taking the death roulette is not something I expected. That looked insane.
No. Talos might actually win, but he wasn't in the Royal Road, so that's probably why.
Yeah.
But also, I mean, you know, they did the stuff that you'd expect with the big boots and then the brawling around ring, like not, you know, cliched, but they managed to keep it together. Basically. Yeah,
and they also like laid their shots in properly as well.
Yeah. And then after
which the match, is something both men have kind of struggled with a little bit. So I was actually like,
yeah. Well, Talos, I could give him a bit more time because getting used to things in Japan.
Yeah.
Ren has been couple years now of or this whole
yeah team with Shuji Ishikawa. You should know how to lay your shots in at this point.
Yeah. And then after the match, Talos leaves Hokuto Gun, and they form a tag team with Renayabe and Talos.
You know what? Good idea, actually. I was like when I saw that happen, I was like, you know what? That's actually the perfect use for like both men.
Now, if you're forming a tag team at this time of the year, I think they got to be carrying a World Tag League.
Yeah, 100%. I was like, okay, this is essentially an announcement of like the first team for the Real World Tag League. Yeah.
And then semi-main event for the World Tag Team Championships, Hideki Suzuki and Kengo Mashimo defeated Kento Miyahara and Yuma Aoyagi in 24-55 with a double suplex hold on from Suzuki on Miyahara for the title change. And I should add, it took two double arm suplexes for Suzuki to put Miyahara away and then win the title. Paul might be the low man on this tag title match. And what I mean is, I thought this was still a very good match. I thought the closing stretch with Suzuki and Miyahara was great. I thought the opening minutes where they were doing the technical wrestling was great. I just thought it lost a little juice in the middle. And I just saw like everyone on Cage Match went higher than I did.
See, no, because I think I'm actually going to be the low man on this.
Oh, okay.
Because like, I agree, like it was good overall, but I was also, after that match ended, I was like, after we talk about it on this show, I'm never going to think about this match ever again. I thought it was like the most forgettable good match I've ever seen. Like, right. Like, because I was like, afterwards, I was like, I enjoyed that, but also that sure happened. I don't like, it's really hard for me to explain it. Like, I was like, I enjoyed the match, but I was also like immediately afterwards, I was like, yeah, I'm not going to remember anything about this. Like, it was there. It was just look at who was involved. Obviously it was going to be a good match. And like, yeah. I felt like the match just perfectly hit expectations, which kind of worked against it because there wasn't really anything for me to really like sink my teeth into really. So it's just like, it sounds like I'm burying it and I really don't want to, but like,
right.
Yeah. No, I don't mean but it was really good. And I was surprised about the winners, but you know what? Let's see what they can do. Like, I think that's actually a good team. Like, that's a fresh team. Like, I mean, I feel like they're going to lose them to the Saitos eventually, I feel like, but.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because by losing the titles here, I thought they were going to do another thing on the next show and then they swerved us again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was like, oh man, this is such a spoiler for the main event of the next show. And I was like, well, like, it's not.
And then for the Junior Battle of Glory finals, Atsuki Aoyagi defeated Rising Kaito in 29-45 with a Firebird Splash to win the tournament. Paul, this was the best match that All Japan has had this year.
Yeah, this was fucking awesome.
And Hayato was a madman as I expected from here, and he jumped off the upper level of the ward onto Atsuki. They did that like the first 5 minutes. I'm sorry, you can't complain about the crowd brawling when you go to jump off of a balcony.
Yeah, that was a balcony jump. Like, yeah, ripped out, like, he's at, there was one spot, I don't know when it happened, but he at some point like ripped out like one of his like face piercings got stuck on something, yeah. And yeah, like ripped out, and he started like hard way bleeding.
Yeah, it like closed up fast. There wasn't that much blood, but here's the funny thing though.
It reopened in the post match, so it looked like he was crying blood.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's I don't think the winner was ever in doubt here, though.
No.
I do think Hayato was the star here.
Yeah. I do feel like, because we were always talking about like how like Atsuki is like the 1A and Hayato is the 1B, but I feel like that has flipped now.
Yeah.
And Hayato is the 1A and Atsuki is the 1B. But it was also the right call to like put it on Atsuki here because he was injured for such a long time and he's back now, and you can put him back on the like top of the junior division for a while before you flip it back to like, before you give Hayato another shot with the belt, because again, like, while he is the 1A of the junior division, like, he hasn't had a good title reign yet, so he actually kind of still needs that. But yeah, for now, let's see what Atsuki can do with the belt. Like, I think there's a lot of fresh matchups for him in the junior division as well. So yeah, no, absolutely the right call to. Like,
so here's my critique. Here's my critique of this match and my critique of Atsuki in his big matches. I do not like this thing that he's now doing where it's just like he's going to hit a couple of moonsaults and then kick out, and the Firebird Splash. I feel like that's very anti, because this is like him going back to the top, again and again until he lands it. I like a more dramatic finish and a more dramatic build to the finishing move. I don't know.
Yeah, no, he definitely has to worry it up a bit now. We'll see. Like, I mean, obviously, like, spoiler, like, he won the title and everything. So we'll see if he can actually, like, do that, like, when he's on top. But
yeah,
I mean, he's fucking young as well. Like, he's like 24, right? So there's definitely still enough. Which is insane. Like, he's still so fucking young.
Yeah. Is it an indictment on All Japan that this is like, I can't think of a match this year that it is an indictment. It's not even a question.
It is, absolutely.
All Japan, that there's nothing that really rivals this. There's maybe some, I went like 4.5 on this, and there's like maybe some a couple 4.25 matches, but that's about it, right?
No, like this has been a very disappointing year match quality wise for All Japan, for sure. So, yeah. I mean, I will put a lot of that on the guy that, you know, has been carrying the belt that has most commonly been responsible for amazing matches in All Japan. But yeah,
the more I think about it,
I do think that's one of the reasons.
The more I'm convinced he's booking, and this is all of him, and why he's not holding.
You think Yuma is?
No, Kento.
Oh, you mean Kento? No, sorry, I was going to put it on June, because June's the one not having good matches. Well, not.
Sorry, I misunderstood you. I thought you meant someone who wasn't holding it.
Oh, no, no, no. I meant the actual guy holding it.
Right. Yes, we'll get to that, although I might shock everyone with some thoughts.
Also, I looked it up. Atsuki is 25, but yeah, he definitely still has, like, you know, a while to.
I mean, Haido's a bit more. Haido's maybe a year or two. He's not that old.
Yeah, they've been around for roughly the same time. Let me just look that up real quick. Rising Haido is 26. Yeah, you nailed it.
This might have been their best show of the year.
Yeah, no, this was a really good show.
In terms of good stuff throughout the card and just the vibe.
Yeah, the vibes were really good. Like, that crowd was also like, that crowd was also very clearly there for, like, Atsuki versus Hayato.
Yeah.
Again, All Japan has never been a junior promotion, ever. Again, it was literally founded by a man called Giant Baba.
Yeah, who never put much effort. Or he tried a couple times, like, once with Onita, once with Tiger Mask, and then just gave up.
And then both fucked off, and he was like, screw this.
Or, no, he moved Tiger Mask up to heavyweight.
Wrong Tiger Mask.
I think Tiger Mask 2 debuts in 85, and by 88 he's
and then he was like, fuck being Tiger Mask.
So I had something on that was in the last couple of years there have been like 3 Korakuen main events with juniors. 2 of them did under 1,000 and one did like 1075, which I think was Dan versus Hayato. Was it 1075 or was it Dan? Anyway, the record's not good, but there is evidence that Hayato is a draw, though.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, this definitely is, like, the fact that they hit, like, this many people with, like, a junior title. Also, this was the best junior title. This was the best junior tournament this year, right, in Japan?
I don't know if that final was better than Yo versus Fujita, but I thought the tournament overall was better.
Yeah.
But I would give the finals of the best a slight edge.
I agree. Like, that was slightly better, but I like that tournament overall. I enjoyed just a lot more because, I mean, it helps that there was no fucking bullshit in there either. So,
yeah, exactly. And then we go to a week later for another Neto !! Summer Action. But we're now in the not Summer Action series anymore, Paul. We're in Summer Action Wars because it's, I guess, the new tour. At Air Water Arena Matsumoto in Matsumoto City General Gymnasium, which was a large, apparently can hold like 6,000 people because it's one of those basketball arenas, probably Fukuda hookup thing. Mm-hmm. 1,596 fans. Paul, were you expecting more? Because I kind of was.
Absolutely. Yeah, I kind of was expecting more as well.
But still.
Yeah, it was 2 hometown guys on top and everything in the really important matches. Also have to say, I know Japanese promotions don't really seem to ever give a shit about this, really. But, like, maybe don't put the angle of the camera so high up if you have nobody in the, like, you know, upper ranks. Because that just looks bad if you just constantly film from, like, the ring from underneath and you just see that there's just, like, nobody up there. But... yeah, I also will say, like, the thing is, obviously, we don't really have anything to compare this to, but I would have hoped, like, I don't know if 2,000 would have been too much, really, like, because it is still, like, it's not Tokyo. It's not like a big area, but
yeah,
I don't know. I low-key, like, at least maybe I would have hoped for something closer to 2000. Let's put it that.
Yeah, 1800. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Like 1800, something like that. Like 1700, maybe. Like that. Then I would have been happier than like this. Was I think a little bit too few.
Yeah. So we start off the show with Hideki Suzuki defeating Ryo Inoue in 4:55 with a super hold. I mean, this was just Hideki eating him up, but it was so
good. Oh, God, yeah. I mean, this is like basically in Ryo Inoue being kind of moved into like the Taishi Nagao slot for a bit, right?
Yeah.
Because this obviously would have been like Nagao if he wasn't injured. So, yeah.
And then
I hope they find somebody soon to like put into that slot because Inoue shouldn't be there anymore. But it was fun.
They got Shota Kofuji.
Yeah, but I don't. He's not signed by them. No. He's technically still an OSW guy.
Yeah. All Japan TV 6-man tag team titles: Hokuto Mori, Kumarashi, and Takashi defeated Shiro Koshinaka, Kuroshio, Tokyo Japan, and Seiko Tachibana in 10:39 with the pineapple bomber from Takashi on Kuroshio to make their fourth defense. I've seen worse.
Yeah. I mean, also Takashi just completely jobbing out like Jiro as well.
It's funny. That's funny. I'm not going to. And look, the Koshinaka stuff got over.
Yeah. I mean, he is still over. Like, that's the thing. Yeah, yeah, of course.
But we didn't get the Jiro entrance either.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's kind of
the Koshinaka. Do you think that jinxed them?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if they actually would have come out to his entrance, they would have definitely won the match. So, really, this is on Jiro Koshinaka, actually.
And the next up, we had Rising Hayato and Dan Tamura versus Mr. Saito Naruki Doi and Senor Saito defeated them in 8:29 with the high angle reverse cradle from Hayato on Saito. Fine.
Yeah.
You know, there's not much to say, but it wasn't. I mean, I don't. It's funny because I don't really think Senor Saito really drags things down.
No, I think he's been perfectly acceptable. Like, in a weird way, he is like in the Black Mansa Ray role now.
Yeah. Well, Mansa Ray could still be better.
Yeah, no. Like, Mansa Ray at his best is still better, but he's basically like the masked guy that does jobs now is what he is.
Yeah, and completely inoffensive, like, you know.
Yeah.
Well, because he's not doing like massage.
It's so funny though that like he's not getting booked by like the promotion that like his best friend books. Instead, he's working All Japan under a mask.
Yeah. And then... So this one was the Hantai versus Havoc. Shotaro Shino, Zion, and Odyssey defeated Kento Miyahara, Davey Boy Smith, and Musashi in 11:05 with a diving headbutt from Zion on Musashi. This was what it was. Nothing interesting. I feel like Zion looked okay here.
Zion has adjusted, I feel like, to Japan relatively well, but...
I mean, we're talking from a very low...
Don't know how much there really is. Yeah, I don't know if there's really that much more there, to be honest.
Yeah, we'll see. Because I think they're going to keep booking him.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like, and like, given how over they were on the Ota Watcher and everything, yeah.
they got a job at least to the end of the year, I think.
Yeah.
And then special tag match: Ren Ayabe and Talos defeated Ryoki Honda and Daisuke Sakamoto in 15:14 with the death roulette from Ayabe on Honda. Paul, other than the botched finish, which I don't know, could just be an old man Wada thing, or do you think Honda kicked out?
No, I do think that was the intended finish. Yeah,
this is actually pretty good.
Yeah,
and I thought I was like, Honda and Sakamoto also worked very well together as a team. Mm-hmm. I thought.
I mean, that might be another team that I might be like.
I know everyone's clamoring for new period, but Honda and Sakamoto are pretty good as a team.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing: Honda is like kind of spoiled for potential tag team partners for the real world tag team. Like, you have him and Daisuke Sakamoto, you have new period. And you have him and Nomura.
Yeah. All very good.
They're all good choices. Watch him team with, like, I don't know, Takashi.
I mean, I think I would probably want to go with New Period and then maybe put Nomura and Sekimoto together.
Ooh, that's a really good one, too. Yeah.
I think that's, like, because it's not necessarily about making the absolute one best team, but, like, how do you spread them around to make the best, like...
Best tournament, the
number of really good teams. And I think...
Yeah. No, I agree that's a really good one too. And I thought it was a shame when they kind of low-key broke up New Period after they formed Elpida. So I'm definitely in favor of putting them back together because we never actually got them at their peak, I feel like.
Paul, I guess once we talk, okay, because I might as well talk about it now because at some point in this match, either before or right after, Rey Seto came out to address the crowd. And they canceled the show in their hometown that was going to happen in October. Mm-hmm. And it's shoulder surgery. He could be out a while.
Yeah.
Especially if they're having him address the crowd. That's true.
Yeah.
He's going to be gone a while. Even if it was like 2-3 months, that's one thing. He could be.
Yeah, especially for like someone in his like body shape, that's especially going to be like, you know, make things worse as well. 30s. Yeah.
He probably should have taken more time off when he separated the shoulders of the first.
Yeah, yeah. But you know how wrestlers are.
Yeah, pain.
I mean, again, he separated his shoulder, came back, and immediately took like a massive bump on his fucking shoulder because wrestlers are fucking stupid.
So, I mean, with the Saito's out, I mean, do you think Ren and Talos are getting those tag titles? Because it's like, let's be honest, Suzuki and Mashimo feel like a transitional team.
Yeah, and well, it definitely, like I said,
seems to be taking his role very seriously. So maybe they're just going to give Hideki the tag titles to fuck around with for a while. I don't know.
I mean, I honestly could see them hold it past the Real World Tag League. To be fair, that is actually quite a decent run still away, right? Like, I could see them hold them maybe until the New Year's shows. Like, especially now with the Saito's gone as a team.
I don't think you could rule out Ayabe and Talos winning the Real World Tag League or the tag title. Especially.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, I don't know. I feel like if they do actually put Anzai and Honda back together, that to me has to be like the favorite team to win.
Well, there's also an argument.
But you, I mean, the thing is,
you need to put that triple crown back on Anzai soon.
On Anzai as well, yeah. But like, I feel like Ren, Ayabe and Talos can also just, you know, like we're in August. Like, you can still like have them just challenge normally, beat Kengo and Kendo and Suzuki, and then they're the ones that hold it through the like Real World Tag League and then lose it on the New Year shows. You can also do that.
Yeah. And then semi-main event. Atsuki for the PWF World Junior Heavyweight title. Atsuki Aoyagi defeated Seki Yoshioka in 2054 with a Firebird Splash to win the title. Well, Yoshioka got two defenses in this title reign, at least, unlike back in Noah.
This is best title reign ever.
This was a very good match, not as good as the junior finals. And my criticism of Aoyagi's finishing stretches also apply.
Yeah, it does. But I mean, I do like, though, that the thing where... I think what he has gotten better at is kind of like his like selling and underneath work a bit as well, though.
Yeah,
because Yoshioka also just for a good chunk of this just beat the shit out of him.
He was a very good underdog here. I will give him that, absolutely.
Yeah,
like he's not a bad wrestler. I've just critiqued.
Right? No. Like that because like especially like the level that he's at now, I think it's like fair to like also criticize him at a higher level as well. But like these are things that he should be better at as well.
Yeah.
I think that is very fair. But I also really like Yoshioka in this match, like as just this like bully. Because I feel like that's something he did really well during the tournament as well.
Yes. Where
I feel like despite the fact that he only got two defenses, and I think this reign actually really elevated him because he was the champion during the tournament. And he got to be like, I feel like he noticeably developed a lot more confidence. So no, I agree that it wasn't as good as the junior finals match, but like I still really enjoyed this. Like I still think this was like the best match on the show. Like I still gave this like 4.25.
Oh, you think so, eh?
Yeah, I thought this was really good. Like I agree with your criticisms of the finishing sequence, but like I still enjoyed it overall like too much. Like the entire rest of the match.
Paul, let's talk about what I thought was the best match of the show. Crown. Jun Saito defeated Yuma Aoyagi in 21:57 with the days gone. Well, I mean, look, I was shocked. I watched this live. I was shocked at the finish, but damn it, this wasn't the best matches. And Yuma, he was on. He did not do the bullshit. He was a great wrestler here. And Paul, my hot take is since they did brother versus brother, June's been better. His last two matches, his last two Triple Crown defenses have been the best of his reign. Well, this was better than versus Honda, but I think that those last two matches have been above his earlier defenses. And I am less angry at the result because of the match quality he's put on lately. I'll say that. I feel like he should lose it soon.
Yeah, because my thing is, you know, he's kind of run through everybody.
Yes, this is his second defense against Yuma, too.
Yeah. Like, he's kind of run through the whole roster now. Like, it's his seventh defense as well. Like, I get where you're coming from, but, like, his matches have gotten better, but it's like...
I'm not
saying... What else is there for him to do?
I was just like... Yeah, this is why he should just lose it to whoever wins the Royal Road, but I don't know if he will.
No, yeah, he's not losing it to Daisuke Sakimoto. if Sakamoto wins. And he just defended it against Honda.
And are they going to put it on Nomura?
No, I mean, I would love nothing more than a Nomura Triple Crown reign, but that would be so irresponsible.
They might should just have Kento win the damn tournament.
yeah, maybe that is just the easiest thing. Like, just Kento wins and he beats June. But then, low-key, the one argument that you can make for June keeping the title is, the fuck's June gonna do now that Ray's out if he doesn't have the belt?
There's nothing
for him to do.
I get that, but I don't think that should justify a longer title reign. As much
as
on him.
Like, if he had just won the belt, I feel like then you could have justified him holding the belt a little bit longer while you figure out what to do with him. But, like, he's been holding it for the entire year.
All Japan's willingness to have their guys lose in their hometowns. I mean, they often win in their hometowns, but they will have them lose in their hometowns a decent.
Yeah.
Somewhat, obviously, like, modified by the fact that Atsuki won, but.
I don't know. I felt like it was such a signposting when Yuma lost the belts that they were just going to end the show with both brothers standing in the ring with the belts. And yeah, instead we got Jun Saito eating a watermelon, which I guess was cool too.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see what comes out of that. I mean, I'm just skeptical he's going to get out of the first round, but Ishino would be a fresh match.
But you really want to put the belt on Ishino?
Havoc's
home. Oh, okay, let's put it that way. Okay, obviously we would put the belt on Ishino. I don't think either of us would be like, let's not put the belt on Ishino. Would all Japan put the belt on Ishino?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Actually, if Havoc was kept getting hotter, yeah.
Like, I genuinely think Zion would have a better chance that they'd put the belt on him than Ishino. Like, that would be the worst choice by far. But if I had to, gun to my head and I would have to pick which of these All Japan would be more likely to put a belt on, it would be Zion.
Now, would you agree with me that despite the fact that Jun Saito is still champion, in August, All Japan is now in a better place than they have been all year?
Yes. No. Because Atsuki, you have a hot guy on top. You have a fresh team holding the tag titles. And I am somewhat interested by the Royal Road tournament, because I just have really no fucking idea what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Which makes it intriguing.
So let's talk about some upcoming things. On the 16th, they have a charity show in Sun Machida Asahi Gymnasium in Tokyo. Sometimes these charity shows don't make tape, but it says it's being broadcast on Japan TV. So first match, Senor Saito versus Kikutaro.
Yeah.
Wrestling already.
That's what I said, right? He's in the Black Man Survey role now.
Yeah. And then Hideki Suzuki and Fuminori Abe versus Hokuto Omori and Jack Kennedy. Dan Tantmura versus Davey Boy Smith Jr. I actually kind of want to see what Dan can get out of
this. I kind of have morbid curiosity about that match in a way.
Yeah. Jun Saito versus Ryo Inoue.
Yeah, I mean, the most obvious match that has happened this year, I guess.
So also morbid. Actually, I think if they keep it 8, 9, 10 minutes, Ryo can be a great underdog. In we got Yuma Aoyagi, Atsuki Aoyagi, Rising Hayato versus Renayabe Musashi and Seki Yoshioka. I don't know. Someone pins Aoyagi here.
To challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, again, that's a nice thing, right? With Atsuki, where it's could literally be anybody because they're all fresh matches now.
Yeah. And then you made a bet. Kento Miyahara, Ryuki Honda, and Masashi Takeda versus Shotaro Ishino, Zion, and Odyssey.
You know what? Fuck it. Let's put Kento and Masashi Takeda together, the team for the Real World Tag League.
Who's doing the job here? Zion, maybe?
Zion, yeah.
I feel like they're not going to have Havoc lose.
Yeah, Havoc has been picking up a lot of wins, yeah.
Takeda,
he's the outsider.
Yeah.
Well, Honda. Isn't he also technically a junior in All Japan canon?
He is, yes.
So I feel like it's
so weird. Is this a local thing for him?
Maybe, yeah.
Where is Sun Machida? It's got to be probably one.
Yeah, he's from Machida.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. You know what? Let's turn Kento into a deathmatch guy and he can save.
Oh, Machida is out there in the far.
Yeah. No. It's part of the prefecture of Tokyo, but it is further away from what we would consider Tokyo, than like Yokohama, for example, or like Kawasaki.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like the subway doesn't go out there, because they like take a bus and take like the overland trains and everything to get there.
Yeah, it's not central.
Yeah, so that makes sense. So, well, then Kento, maybe Havoc is doing the job here, but you don't know. And then, so on the last Korakin of Dragon Gate, Yuma, Atsuki, and Ryo Inoue bought tickets and then like came and confronted Yamato after his match. So we've got a Dragon Gate versus All Japan special six-man tag match, which is Yamato, Dragon Kid, and Kazuma Kimura, who's a rookie, right? Versus yeah. Yuma Aoyagi, Atsuki Aoyagi, and Ryo Inoue. So I got to assume that Kimura is losing, taking the...
Yeah.
But that could be a lot of fun.
Do we get a counter invasion of All Japan then?
We should. Oh God, what if... Could you see Yamato... If Yuma had won the Triple Crown and they still did this angle, I was like, Yamato's coming in to challenge you.
Yeah. No, but not... I mean,
I don't think they're going to run Yamato versus Jun Saito.
But then again, would Yamato basically be like, yeah, I'm going to challenge for the junior belt? I don't think he would do that. Yeah.
No. And then on the 24th is the first show of the Royal Road Tag Tournament, the Royal Road Tournament, which got Kento Miyahara versus Kengo Mishimo, Yuma Aoyagi versus Naoya Nomura. And then you've got Naruki Doi versus Daisuke Sakamoto. And then Musashi 15th anniversary match, Musashi and Seki Yoshioka versus the great Sasuke and Taro Nohashi, who's obviously there to get pinned by Musashi.
Yeah. It's like I one of these things is not like the others.
Yeah. So that's that first night. But I'm not going to go through, but we sort of went through the tournament. I'm not going to go through the whole tournament again. Right. Because I don't think there's really much else to go, except for we really don't know.
Yeah. We really don't know who's going to win this thing. I mean, we've literally gone for like five different guys where we went, yeah, fuck it. Why doesn't this guy just win the tournament?
Yeah. I'm just looking at upcoming cards. Oh. Ray Paloma, Carbel Ito, and Almighty Inoue are challenging for the six-man titles on August 30th.
Yeah, I mean, why don't any of these guys win the Royal Road Tournament? Why not?
And then, that's the only other sort of note thing going on. Because we don't know who's in the other later odd shows at the tournament, everything like that. Mm-hmm. I suppose a tournament where you don't know who the winner is good.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. Is Nomura still beating Yuma in the first round? Because we thought that was going to happen. Because we assumed that someone was the Triple Crown champion.
I honestly still feel like he does. I feel like, because, look, that gives us another Kento versus Naoya Nomura match. And isn't that all we really want at the end of the day?
I mean, yeah, it definitely
like,
is.
Even if Nomura's run ends there in the tournament, that gets us another one of that match, which... There was a very real chance multiple times that we were never going to get that match again. So I will absolutely take it.
I will take it too. And probably feel like you could still, you got to sort of keep Nomura on like a bit of like a arm's length. So I think Kento beating him again. And if Nomura can prove himself, you can finally get the big Nomura win over Kento later, I guess. If he can hang around.
Yeah.
Back, maybe you can dangle that because, you know, that's the big one that he's never gotten and everything like that. Yeah. And that was the story of that company until Nomura.
Till everything went to shit.
Injured his neck the first, till everything went to shit. Yeah, because he got like, his last match was in late February 2020 and then the whole world and his career went to shit.
Basically, yeah. I don't even remember what happened first if like his neck, I know his neck injury happened and then COVID lockdown started.
Yeah. So, you know, those are two bad things that put together. Like that, right. And I was like, I don't know. I was like, okay, it's COVID. He's in no hurry to get back. But then it became a year. And And it became like 18 months.
Yeah. And then I was like, is he actually ever going to come back?
And he did.
Yep.
And then he
was still great.
Capture thing. But then he did eventually come crawling back to All Japan.
And he had another great run. And they put the belts on him. And he gets... His knee blows up.
Yeah.
No, and then he doesn't get proper. Remember, that was when his knee got infected as well.
Yes. Which delayed the surgery.
Yeah.
Well, at least Noah didn't get his claws into him.
Yeah. Which they actually tried.
I wonder if that has anything.
That they don't want Noah to get the claws in him and that's why they keep booking him.
Well, because he was showed up on Limit Break, right? And then they're like, yeah, okay, come back here. No wonder.
Because I'm sure Go Shiozaki looks at Noya Nomura and sees a very kindred soul.
Although I don't know if Nomura, does Nomura fit in for where they're going with that company right now, though? I mean, as a mid-career.
No. Yeah.
I like that they would use him as to his top potential.
Yeah. But he definitely fits with like Go's vibes. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yes, he definitely fits. They would have been in All Japan at the same time, very brief. Right? When did?
But that would have been just after Nomura made his debut. See, because Nomura came in 2014.
Yep, and Go was there till what? Late 2015.
Yeah. Let me see. Did they actually ever have a match? Let's see.
They were there at the same time.
Yeah, they had like a tag match. They actually teamed together.
Ah. There you go.
On a Chiba show, yeah. Against Magatsuki, Kengo Mashini, and Yuki Sato.
Yeah, Nomura was the first dojo trainee of the Akiyama regime. Yeah. So yeah, there's that connection there. So well, whatever the reasons were, I'm just glad he's back and still fucking good.
Yeah.
Just
you know what fuck everything, you know what, it's probably gonna end with I don't know, like his arm like literally, and I mean literally, exploding in the ring and just showering everybody in gore. Like, just have him win the tournament, put the belt on him, whatever, let's go, why not.
So yeah, I think to me, and we've gone over this a million times, the roster is so thin, but he is just such a imagine once Anzai gets back and if he comes in as a regular, that's just like a huge, and I got to say, I'm not slighting Anzai at all, but this company is actually doing not bad, better than I thought they'd be doing without Anzai.
Without him. Yeah. No. I feel like that's definitely a good sign though.
Now, if the Royal Road does turn out to be shit, I suppose that we can say that. Damn. Still nothing for Anzai, but like, I'm not worried.
No. He's shooting a movie or something.
Yeah.
Also, if we actually do go through with the Noah and Amora push, then we can actually get the long-awaited singles rematch as well.
Yes.
Which is Takuya Nomura versus Noah Nomura. Because they faced off on in the opener of like the Sumo Hall show in 2016.
I remember that. But Nomura's injured. Takuya.
Yeah. I saw that in the Misc Pro channel and I was like, oh my god, no, not again. Because the person whoever put that poster there only wrote Nomura. And my immediate assumption was obviously that it was gonna be Takuya.
He's out for, his doctor told him to rest for 2 months. Okay.
Yeah, see.
Not a good sign. But he's still pretty young. He's like maybe 30, 31. So
yeah, he's just 31, just, yeah.
Take the 2 damn months off, man.
Yeah.
don't be a race, Saito.
Yeah. Or a Go Shiozaki. I
mean, yeah, well, Go finally took his time off.
Yeah, because he literally had to get double knee surgery.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back in halfway through the Royal Road tournament, maybe, because there's the big Noah show, but there's nothing from All Japan. Well, other than that charity show until.
And I'm going to London next week.
Perfect. Well, there we go. So we will see you in a couple of weeks and enjoy all the wrestling out there. Take care. Bye.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Every other Monday, we're coming at you with news, show reviews, and previews of upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're just getting into the scene or you've seen it all, this is the show for you.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network and wherever you get your audio.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.